In today's Mishnah, from the first and second Mishnah, from the sixth parak Masechet Dodi, the Mishnah begins, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, he id chamisha dvarim, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava testified regarding five matters. The first is, memaanine taktanot. So if you remember that a father has the ability to marry off his young daughter, min haTorah, who is a ketana, who is still below the age of bat mitzvah. However, if the father passes away, midarabbanan, rabbinically, the mother or the brother are able to marry her off. However, she's able to do what's called mion. She can refuse at any point and then leave that arrangement even without a get. So that concept of mion is really at her own choice. But what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying, there are certain situations where one can even encourage her to do so. And that is, if you remember, we learned about this case in Masechet Yevamah to solve other halachic problems. So for example, if two brothers were married to two sisters, one of the sisters was a gedola and the other one was Yesh Yatoma Ketana. Now, the brother who was married to the gedola, the adult woman, that's a marriage min haTorah, and the other brother who was married to the ketana is rabbinic. Now, if the brother was married to the older of the two sisters, passed away without having any children, the surviving brother is meant to perform yibum. That's an obligation min haTorah. However, his rabbinic marriage, if you like, to this ketana, who's the sister of the yevama, prevents him really from doing yibum. So, in order to perform this mitzvah d'oraita of yibum, this is what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying. We can encourage his wife, this ketana, this young girl, to do mion, to break out of this marriage so it's as if they were never married, because mion is such that that would be the result, allowing him then to perform yibum. The second case is as follows. Shem masi'ina te'isha al pi edechad. That takes us back to, I think we learned this in even in Yevamot, but back in Nashim, that even though normally to establish any halachic fact you need two witnesses, even if a single witness comes from overseas and testifies about this woman, that a woman's husband has passed away, that is sufficient. She doesn't need two witnesses. She could go ahead and get married. And that was a gzera built on the fact that we don't want this woman to be an oguna, stuck in this wedlock for the rest of her life. And we learned about other stringent leniencies as a result of that, but that wasn't Masechet Yevamah, I think. This is the third case. V'shiniskal tarnagol b'yushalayim al shaharag ha'tanefesh. So we learned back in Bava Kamma that if an animal kills a human, then that animal, for example, here we're talking about a shore, an ox, that's a classic case in the Torah, that it is stoned, it is killed as well. So here we have a situation where a tarnagol, a chicken, a rooster, came and killed a young child, unfortunately. And the question was, does it get stoned as well? The Torah only talks about a shor. However, due to a gzera shava, since when it comes to the laws of Shabbos, it says, that despite the fact that it mentions a shor by Shabbat, that it has to be rested, but really it also applies to all other animals as well, so too we learn by these laws that this tarnagol would be executed. The fourth halacha is as follows. Ve'al yayin ben arbiyom shenit nasach al gav mizbeach, that in the basement, that's the wine libations. Wine was poured on the Mizbeach. The question is, how aged, how old does the wine have to be at a minimum to be considered wine? He said it has to be at least 40 days. In the final case of Al Talmid Sher Shachar, that the morning offering, the morning daily offering, can be offered, Shekara Ba'ar Basha'ot, can be offered in the fourth hour. So once again, when he's discussing the fourth hour, we're taking the daylight hours, dividing it by 12. So it's four daylight halachic hours into the day. And what's interesting here, the Bartanura, I think he's citing the Rambam, actually says that he gave this testimony at one time where they didn't have a Korban Tamid. It was at the time, I think Kati says, the time of Malchui Avan, where they were under siege, and they used to have to pass money down over the walls and in order to purchase animals for Korban. At one time, they didn't give them lambs. They returned a Gdiim, kids, that were insufficient to be used as a Korban, and they didn't know what to do. And they found, just late in the morning, the fourth hour, they found in Lishchat HaTlaim, in this special chamber, they found an animal that could be used as a korban. And it was on that day that he testified, yep, even to the fourth hour you'd be able to offer this korban tamid. Let's now learn Mishnah Bet. Ha'id Rabbi Yoshua v'Rabbi Nechunya ben Elinatan ish kfar habavli al ever minamet. So Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Nechunya ben Elinatan ish kfar habavli, he testified on ever min hamet. Ever min hamet is a limb from a corpse. What do you testify? Shu tameh, that it's metameh. Clearly it's a source of tumah, but it's also metameh be'ohel, meaning that even if no one's touching it, no one's moving it, but in the same room as it, or under the same covering, that it would transfer tumah, it would make a tameh. This is despite the fact that we are dealing with a small ever, a small limb that is less than a kazayit. That's very important, because otherwise it would spread tumah anyway. In other words, why was this testimony so important? Because there was a debate regarding this point. Shu Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Eliezer said, lo amru no. The only time Aver, and the only limb that's matame in this fashion is Ela al Aver min hachai, meaning a limb that's been separated from a living person. It's only there we find such a limb can transfer tumah if it's less than a kazayit. We don't find that by a met. So Amru lo, they said to him, Halo kal v'chomer. One second, can't we draw a kal v'chomer? Ma min hachai shehu tahor, a living person is not a source of tumah. Ever haporesh mimenu tameh, a limb, even if it doesn't have a kazayit, it is a source of tumah. A met, a corpse, that it itself is entirely tameh, Enodin shouldn't be then, by way of deduction, that shia aver, that a limb that separated from it should also be tameh. And once again, importantly, we're dealing here with this less than a kazayit size. So Amar Lahim, the response was, lo amru ela el aver nechai. No, you can have your kal v'chomer, but basically don't learn this kal v'chomer, and the tumah for an aver that's less than the size of a kazayit is only for aver nechai and devar acher. And I'll give you a response in order to knock out your kal v'chomer. What is that? Shemeruba tumah tachay mitumah tamed. We find that tumah that applies to a living person is far more, or even more chamor, than that of a corpse. Where shehachay oseh mishkav u'mosha mitachtav letameh adam u'letameh begadin v'al gabav madaf, which means as follows. We find by an individual, if, for example, he is a zav, this is a man who's had three unusual omissions, and that if he sits on a mishkav u'moshav, something that would normally be used for sitting or lying on, that item would become an av atuma itself, meaning a source of tuma that it can cause either other people or other kelim to become tameh. Similarly, the al gabav, if there were kelim on top of him, he could have been carrying multiple layers of blankets, for example, that they, every single one of them would become a madaf, would become a rishon latuma, first degree tuma, less potent than what we mentioned prior. However, that can make tameh ochel umashkim. And he said, you don't find that by a corpse. Why? With a corpse, if you had multiple, say, using the second case, blankets on top of it, or even below it, it would transfer tumah one to the other until the potency of the tumah dissipated, for want of a better sort of mashal. In other words, it would only be the first three, because a kli that touched the met, the first kli would become like the met itself, so it would be like an aviyavata tumah. So the discussion what the kli would have to be made of, but that's a debate we'll discuss in Masech Tarot again. The first one would become Avi Avot HaTumah, the one above it would become an Avot HaTumah, and the one above that would become a Rishon HaTumah. Beyond that, a Rishon HaTumah, that first degree Tumah, so we're going down in potency, can only make food and drink Tumah. It wouldn't be able to make the blanket above it. So we, in other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we find that, like using the case of a Zav, a person who's alive can make, using this particular case, more blankets Tumah than a corpse could. Because even if it was carrying 100, each of them would become a Rishon HaTumah. Whereas, as we've just explained, if it was a corpse, only the first three. So he had a strong counter-argument, and the debate was in a deadlock. That's why this testimony of Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Nechunya ben Elinatan, Ish Kfar Bavli, was critical, because he came to testify regarding the halacha being that Eber Min HaMet, even if it's less than a Zayit, is not Tameh Be'ohel. Those are Mishnah today.